From the Voice of America, this is Learning English Weekend. I'm Katie Weaver. Here with me is Christopher Jones Cruz. Thanks for joining me on the Saturday podcast, Chris. How are you doing?
I am glad to be here with you and our listeners. We have an interesting show. It includes a visit to one of the most beautiful and powerful places in the world. You and Ashley tell us about Volcanoes National Park in the Pacific Island state of Hawaii.
This year, the U.S. National Park Service is celebrating its 100th anniversary. So, Learning English is exploring as many of the sites as we can.
Of course, later in the show, we will hear an American story. Today's is from writer Bret Hart. Jim Tedder reads The Outcasts of Poker Flat.
But first, it's time to talk sports.
Take me out to the ball game.
Professional baseball season opens Sunday in the United States. The sport has been called America's national religion. Marcia James and Dan Friedel tell us what we might expect on the field this year.
It is professional baseball season once again in America. You may remember that in November, the Kansas City Royals won their first championship in over 30 years. They defeated the New York Mets in the 111th World Series. The World Series is played between the champions of the two leagues that make up Major League Baseball. They are the American League and the National League. The Royals are in the American League.
Sunday is opening day for the 2016 baseball season. Six teams will play in three games. The Royals and the Mets will face each other again in one of those openers. The teams that made it into the playoffs in 2015 are expected to do well again this year. The Chicago Cubs and the Los Angeles Dodgers are among them. The experts study new players and team changes and game schedules to try to predict which teams will be the winners and losers. But there are almost always surprises.
Baseball teams play 162 games from April until early October. Players can get injured, traded, and experience slumps. It is a long, unpredictable season. Some of the best players currently in Major League Baseball are from Cuba or have Cuban roots. Cuban Yoenis Cespedes was traded from the Detroit Tigers to the New York Mets last summer. He was one of the Mets' most important players as they moved up in the standings, made the playoffs, and ultimately went to the World Series. In the past, the only way players from Cuba could make it to Major League Baseball was by escaping from their homeland. In July, the U.S. and Cuba established diplomatic relations. The U.S. eased restrictions against Cuba.
Baseball is one of the oldest sports in the U.S. There is debate about exactly when the first baseball game was played. But historians agree it happened before 1900. Baseball has a lot of traditions, like most sports. These traditions include unwritten rules of behavior. For example, newer players are expected to show respect to more experienced players. In recent years, some young players have wildly celebrated their home runs. They might throw their arms in the air or dramatically throw their bat to the ground. Many older players find such behavior unsportsmanlike.
Bryce Harper of the Washington Nationals is one of the best young players in baseball. Harper recently told ESPN the magazine that he is tired of hearing older players complain about the young. He is only 23, but has played in the major leagues for 4 seasons. He said, "There's so many guys in the game now who are so much fun." He said he thinks it is too bad those players are restricted by the unwritten rules about behavior on the field. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Marcia James.
Our National Parks journey this week takes us to the middle of the Pacific Ocean and America's 50th state. We are exploring the unique and fiery world that is Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Most people would say that the tallest mountain on Earth is Mount Everest, near the border between Nepal and Tibet. But there exists a mountain that is 300 meters taller than Mount Everest. Most of it is underwater, however. It begins at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean and rises more than 17 kilometers from the ocean floor. Its name is Mauna Loa. In the Hawaiian language, Mauna Loa means long mountain. Mauna Loa makes up more than half of the island of Hawaii, one of the 8 major Hawaiian islands. Mauna Loa is the largest volcano on Earth. It last burst in 1984. Today, Mauna Loa is quiet, but volcano experts say it is only a matter of time before it bursts again.
Mauna Loa is one of 2 volcanoes within Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. The other is Kilauea. It is the most active volcano in the world. Red hot liquid rock, or lava, has continuously flowed from Kilauea since 1983. Most of the time, the lava appears to move peacefully toward the ocean. But it is not as peaceful as it seems from a distance. In 2014, the lava flowed through one small town on the island. It slowly covered the town, blocking and destroying roads. Nothing can stop the lava of Kilauea. When the lava reaches the ocean, its fierce heat produces steam. The lava is so hot that it continues to burn underwater. It cools and hardens over time, creating new land. This volcanic action is what formed and continues to form the Hawaiian Islands.
That volcanic action is one of many unusual features at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. The park's volcanic landscape is almost otherworldly. In fact, NASA uses the top of Mauna Loa to simulate life on Mars for researchers. The national park has 7 ecological areas, including woodlands, rainforests, and even snowy climates. It is home to many native plants and animals. Many endangered species live within the park, such as the hawksbill turtle, the Hawaiian hawk, and Hawaiian goose, or nene. Evidence of Hawaii's native culture is preserved at the park. The park includes remains of the homes and other structures used by the ancient people of the islands. There are also thousands of petroglyphs created thousands of years ago. Petroglyphs are images carved into rock. The images help explain the living conditions and traditions of the ancient Hawaiians. Hawaiian legend places Mauna Loa at the center of the spiritual world. Pele is the goddess of the volcano. In one traditional story, Pele tries to win the love and attention of the husband of her sister, the sea goddess. Her sister becomes very angry, making powerful ocean waves and floods. Pele seeks a safe place to avoid the punishment. She finally arrives at Mauna Loa. It is so tall that the water cannot threaten her. The volcano goddess makes Mauna Loa her home. The U.S. National Park Service works to protect these natural landscapes important to today's Hawaiians and to their ancestors.
More than 1.5 million people visit Hawaii Volcanoes National Park each year. Visitors can experience the park's volcanoes in several ways. Some people fly over the volcanoes in airplanes or helicopters. This is a safe and popular way to watch Kilauea's lava moving slowly toward the ocean. Visitors can also explore Kilauea's Crater Rim Drive. The crater is the round area that leads down to a volcano. The Crater Rim Drive is 18 kilometers around. Adventure-seeking travelers may wish to climb to the top of the park's other volcano, Mauna Loa. It is considered the world's largest single mountain. The Mauna Loa Trail climbs almost 35 kilometers to the volcano's summit. There is no shade or protection from the strong Hawaiian sun. Most hikers can climb the trail in 2 days. Mauna Loa's summit is almost always cold and often snowy. Hikers can stay in a simple house at the top of the mountain before they begin the trip back down.
The park has shorter hikes as well, including the 2-kilometer Pu'u Petroglyphs Trail. Visitors walk through lava fields filled with petroglyphs. The images document the life and culture of native Hawaiians. The Devastation Trail winds through a part of the park that was destroyed by the 1959 eruption of the Kilauea Iki crater. The Devastation Trail is near another interesting site within the park, the Thurston Lava Tube. A 20-minute walk through a forest leads to a cave-like tube. The lava tube was discovered in 1913. Today, visitors can walk through it. A path of lights marks the way. But hundreds of years earlier, a fierce river of red lava rushed through the tube. Another reminder of the ever-changing and violent nature of Hawaii's volcanoes. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
Now, an American story from the Voice of America. We present The Outcasts of Poker Flat
by Bret Hart. Here is Jim Tedder.
John Oakhurst was a gambler. He had lived in the small western town of Poker Flat for only a short time. He had defeated many people at cards. He had also won a lot of their money. For that reason alone, he was not well liked. On the morning of November 23rd, 1850, he saw some men talking as he walked down the main street of the town. As he came near, they got quiet. He said to himself, I guess they're talking about me, and that can't be good. Oakhurst was right. Some of the town's leaders had met secretly and decided to force some people to leave. They thought Poker Flat would be a better place to live if those people were gone. Besides Oakhurst, two women of low morals were led to the edge of town. They were the Duchess, as she was called, and Mother Shipton. A man called Uncle Billy was added to the group. He was known to drink too much. Some people thought that he had also stolen some gold. They had no proof, but that did not matter. Uncle Billy was just no good, and he had to go. The outcasts were told that if they ever came back, they would be killed. So the four of them slowly rode out of town. The Duchess cried and said she would probably die on the road. Mother Shipton and Uncle Billy cursed.
Damn it.
Mother said she would like to cut the heart out of the people who had done this to them. But John Oakhurst rode in silence. He thought all of life was a gamble. He had just run into some bad luck. That was all. The outcasts were headed for Sandy Bar, a camp not too far away. But it was high up in the cold Sierra Mountains, and the path was anything but smooth. Around noon, Mother Shipton became so tired, she fell off her horse. She said that was as far as she was going today. Oakhurst tried to make them move on because they had no food or fuel. But the three would not listen. Instead, they began to drink alcohol that Uncle Billy had hidden. Soon, they were quiet and asleep. Oakhurst did not drink. He stood nearby and watched them. He began to think about his life and about how lonely he was. Yet he was stronger than his three companions. He could have left them there and set off alone, but he did not. Then he heard someone call,
"Yo! John! John Oakhurst!"
A young man named Tom Simpson came riding up. The gambler knew Tom. They had once played cards, and Oakhurst had won. But after the game, he told young Tom that he was too easy to beat, and he gave him back his money. Tom said Oakhurst would be his friend for life. Tom was not alone. From behind a tree came his new wife, a girl named Piney Woods. Her father had not wanted her to marry Tom, so they had run away. Tom told Oakhurst that he had a little food. He also showed him an old log house just off the path. Years of harsh weather had nearly ruined it. But it was all they had, and it would have to do. The women could spend the night in there. The men would make a fire and sleep on the ground by the door. The night seemed to pass quickly, but the weather became colder. The wind increased, and it began to snow. Oakhurst had a bad feeling. He turned to where Uncle Billy had slept and found him gone. He had left the others and even taken their horses. Oakhurst said Uncle Billy had probably gone for help, but he knew better. The group of five decided to wait for the snow to stop before traveling farther. They no longer had horses. From here on, they would be on foot. By the third day out from Poker Flat, the snow had gotten deep. They could no longer see the path. Food was running low. Everything around them was white and cold. 1 week later, they still had not moved. The snow was deeper than ever, and it continued to fall. It formed a prison they could not escape. Still, they could see smoke rising from the warm fires in the houses down below in Poker Flat. The sight seemed especially cruel. But the little group of outcasts tried to keep up their spirits. They tried to stay as warm as they could. They sat together by their own open-air fire, and Tom Simpson pulled out a small accordion from his pack. Piney Woods played the instrument. They all sang songs. The music took on a defiant quality, a quality of resistance. But the outcasts had to listen to the sad cries of their mostly empty stomachs. The hunger got worse with each passing day. At midnight on the 10th day, Mother Shipton called Oakhurst to her side. She said, "Give this to the young ones." In a bag was all her food. She had not eaten for days. She had saved the food for the others. She turned quietly to the wall of the log house and died. John Oakhurst began to think that none of them would live out the storm. He gave Tom Simpson a pair of snowshoes and asked him to try to walk back to Poker Flat for help. He guessed it would take Tom at least 2 days, if not more, to get there. Tom kissed his new bride and left on foot. Soon, he was out of sight. The Duchess and Piney were surprised and frightened when Oakhurst also turned to leave. "You're not going too," they cried. He said, "Only a little way. I need to find us some help." At that time of year, daylight did not last long. When night came, Oakhurst had not returned. The two women were too hungry, weak, and cold to even add more wood to the fire. They passed the stormy night holding each other close. And that is the way they were found the next morning, when help arrived from Poker Flat. They had frozen to death during the night. The rescuers from town said that they had been right to force the outcasts to leave Poker Flat. But they never thought the punishment would end up like this. Justice was one thing, but freezing people to death was not their aim. And then they thought of the gambler. Where was he? What had happened to him? They searched as best they could. And then they found him. Under a tall tree, a playing card was stuck into the wood by a knife. On the card was written, "Beneath this tree lies the body of John Oakhurst, who had some bad luck starting the 23rd of November, 1850. He handed in his cards on the 7th of December, the same year. Oakhurst sat there, cold and still. They said he looked peaceful. A single bullet from a small handgun nearby had ended his life. John Oakhurst had been both the strongest and the weakest of the outcasts of Poker Flat.
That was Jim Tedder reading The Outcasts of Poker Flat by Bret Harte. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
And I'm Katie Weaver. That's all the time we have for this Saturday Learning English Weekend. Thanks for joining us.